Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
It is our Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. You can ask me how I feel about the text line campaigning to try to get me fired. Be doing me a favor. You can ask us how we feel about Brendan, how we feel about Sean. What's the best food to eat in town? Not Santa asking us on Twitter, do you miss your puppet master, Brendan Riley, as coined by Sean Mapes?
Sean started that. I thought Andrew started that.
Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew started
Andrew.
That.
I thought that was.
It was all Andrew.
I thought that was. I did think it was Sean. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was Sean during his quarterback.
I mean, it's very creative, so I get why you think it's me.
It's not creative at all.
That is right. It was AC.
It was all
I was
Andrew
thinking
trying
all
to be, you know, a more vocal member of the wheelhouse.
I was seething for 2 hours that Sean was the one who said that. No, I thought for some reason I thought that was the quarterback segment. Whenever you compared us to quarterbacks. And then,
no, they played word association and they let Andrew jump in.
Yeah, in hindsight, that makes absolutely no sense. Maybe you should let me go. 713-780-ESPN.
Oh, look who's calling!
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for our Mailbag Monday. 713-780-3776. Key from L.A., what's your question for the
Own
Killer
it,
Bees?
Key. Own it!
Hey, you know you guys been waiting for this call for a long time, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't know what was going to happen in the playoffs. Now we do.
Wait, I just want to know, how do I get over this disappointing loss to the Padres?
You fired Dave Roberts.
You start rooting for the Angels. That way you don't have to worry about playoff failure because they never get to the playoffs. That's how you get over it, Key from L.A. I saw it today. They're going to retain Roberts.
The fact that
but
he is.
You know how I really get over it?
How we get over it, Key?
My Dodger hat off. The Lakers season starts tomorrow.
Good.
You're setting yourself up for more disappointment, Key. Congratulations. Yeah,
appreciate the call, Key. They're trying to get back to the playoffs after
they
missed the playoffs.
The only World Series you won, if you're a Dodger fan, was a 60-game partial, okay, with no fans and no
–
but they won it, right? But the fact is you're too good of a roster with too many talented players – and Dave Roberts continuously is the one guy that has been there for all of it. I think, again, maybe it's just you fall on deaf ears as a leader after a certain point in time, but I think they need a change there.
I don't disagree. Like, A.J. Hinch would look pretty good if I'm a Dodger.
I think
from a
Dave
Dodger
Roberts could find another job, too, but
oh,
I just
would.
Feel like you don't think so?
No, I think he
oh,
would.
Yeah.
No, I think he would. I think he would go like Mattingly, where he goes to like a lesser than, and he sticks around for 4 or 5 years, kind of like what Girardi did. Girardi finds another job or two, and then he gets let go. Probably will never have the pinnacle, the peak that he had.
He's better with maybe a younger team that respects where he's been and who he's worked with than it is with a veteran team that at a certain point you wear out your welcome.
I can't take away from the Dodgers winning in 2020 because that was the most difficult playoff to win because you had more rounds. You had the three-game series, you had the five, then you had to go 7-7. That was the most difficult playoff to ever win.
But you didn't have to prove it for a full season of longevity to prove that you had the staying power. You just had to do it for a short season.
I hear you, and I get
and
it.
Look, we can go, there's
Dodgers
arguments on both
the
sides.
The Dodgers weren't missing the playoffs.
If you are willing to stop giving asterisks and all kinds of hate to the Astros, then I might be more willing to give you the 60-game World Series.
And, like, I'm here for all of the shade. Don't get me wrong. King of Twitch, do you think brooms are offensive?
No, I don't.
That's the standard. Any league that has a series, hockey, baseball, basketball, every single Twitter account's going to sweep out some sort of broom. Every one of them.
All of the Twitter accounts from all of the teams have been saltier and saltier, aside from putting a gun emoji and a horse emoji that got my good friend fired.
Oh, yeah.
My guy Chad took it on the
What's
chin.
Chad up to?
He's working. He got another job.
Well,
he's got
good.
Multiple jobs. Yeah, no, seriously.
Driving
he went
Uber?
Through some,
like, what's he
no,
doing?
He went through some tough times. I can text him and find out during the break, but, you know, it was unfortunate that you had an owner that was part of the founders, I think, of PETA and animal rights.
He was?
His wife was.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that that kind of hit deeper and harder than it would in other organizations and that Mark Cuban didn't like it too and called less. And he basically lost his job for it. But since then, I mean, look at Wendy's. Wendy's pushes the envelope all the time. Twitter accounts are doing
this
and taking shots at each other all the time. You got to own it. Again, like we said, you were talking all that mess and feeling all good about yourself when you were winning. Well, when you were when you lose to the team that's been your daddy all year long, expect that it's coming back.
713-780-ESPN, our mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. Land on Twitch says, do you think the Astros bring back Correa? And if so, would he go to first base or outfield or have Pena move to outfield? Wondering where we are next year at first, center field and DH. Maybe Alvarez to first.
He ain't coming back.
The easy answer is he's not coming back. If he were to like somehow be a Houston Astro for whatever reason that he's a Houston Astro, I'm not moving Peña off a shortstop.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm telling Carlos Correa that you're going to be our third baseman next year, and we want you to bulk up and try to hit as many home runs as you can.
Putting
Bregman at second base, and I'm telling Jose Altuve, you're my DH.
Oh, no.
Jose Altuve's my DH.
Ludicrous, ridiculous.
No way. Well, then how do you do it?
I don't bring him back.
In the crazy world where you bring back Carlos Correa, how do you make it work?
I'm going to be honest with you. If I was going to do anything and I had to bring him back, I'd make him a first baseman and make him be the kind of, you know, Yuli-type former infielder type that could dig out baseballs, and he's a big, tall target, and he could play with all of his boys. Well, that's why this is so unrealistic. I'm being serious about this, but I'm saying if I was going to have to put him anywhere, moving Bregman.
If he signed, what you doing? If he signed, what are you doing? I'm moving Correa to third, Bregman to second. Altuve's my DH. Rodon's playing either first base or left field. But I'm also rotating around quite often. When Peña has a day off, Correa's at short. Bregman's back at third. But it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
It is not.
713-780-ESPN, our mailbag Monday. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Dave, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hey, man, have y'all seen Michael Bradley sitting on the bench there these games? Man, it's just killing him, man. And I'm just like, you know, does this guy come back next year? This guy is such a great player. He hardly strikes out. He's got a great bat. I wish this guy would come back. I wish he could be a part of this season and contribute, because everybody knows that this guy would be a huge contributor. He's always a huge contributor for the postseason. But
Dave wants to know if Brantley will be back as a Houston
Astro.
Thanks
for the call, Dave. Appreciate you listening. You already said.
I've been it depends on the contract.
It's the right price.
You need a left fielder next year. I don't love the idea of Yordan Alvarez being your everyday left fielder. I would like best case scenario where he's rotating with a left fielder, left field DH. Brantley makes sense in that regard because the left field free agent market is not very good. So if you want to give Brantley a year, $10, $12 million, and he and Yordan Alvarez are kind of your rotating left field DH, I'm okay with it for one more year.
Yeah, if you look at it from a Mancini perspective, you'd rather have Mancini at 12, 10 to 12 or Brantley?
Well, he's a first baseman.
Okay, but I'm just saying for next year, we had talked about him in the past being a left fielder.
I don't know.
But I will take Uncle Mike back because it also, when he said you see Mike traveling with the team and being around the team, I texted you this weekend. I felt like if I was the Dodgers, Key from L.A. and others that are fans, I'd be a little bit pissed off that Walker Buehler, who, just like Brantley, had surgery and his season was over, instead of being with his teammates in San Diego in the heat of the most important series of the year, was in the studio with the Fox guys trying to earn some extra cash doing some television. That's like Verlander not being there all year and trying to throw the first pitch and more. I'd be ticked off.
But that last year was like a COVID year, too, though. So, like, it's a little bit even worse because of what Walker Buehler's doing. Yeah, I didn't love that look either. Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. 4624, hey, Joel, fellow Packer fan, what is going on with our team? Our defense was supposed to be top five. It's terrible. Rodgers' body language is terrible. Do you think that we make the playoffs this year?
Well, I don't know. I think it's up in the air right now. I think as much as I'd let, and Lamont's been asking me and was asking me for 2 days on this, as much as I want to blame Rodgers, right now an offensive line that was supposed to be great can't protect him. The Jets ran the same stunt and same blitz package every single time they blitzed basically Rodgers yesterday and got through. Their defense front seven is supposed to be the strength of their team. They've been getting run all over, and they got run all over again yesterday. And so if you can't protect 12, you can't stop the run, and your receivers can't get any separation, and one of the guys that was, believe it or not, was Randall Cobb, and he got hurt yesterday, I think they got major problems.
713-780-ESPN, our mailbag Monday. 5619, if the Yankees fans boo Aaron Judge with a loss tonight, will that sway his intent to sign with another team like the San Francisco Giants?
No, what will sway Aaron Judge to make a decision to leave the Yankees is going to be the biggest Brinks trucks full of money bags that you can ever see. No matter what the Yankees offer him, and, you know, he's a California kid. If he does want to go home, San Francisco would love to have him. I think the Red Sox would love to have him, and it would be that extra little – kind of kick in the nuts that you could take him from the Yankees, put him on the Red Sox, pay him, and then the Yankee fans have to see him all the time. I think that there's plenty of suitors for Aaron Judge, and I don't think that whether he gets booed or not tonight is going to sway him one way or the other.
713-780-ESPN. Will the Eagles go 17-0 this year?
No. Next question. Now, I'm getting closer to having to admit that Jalen Hurts can quarterback in the NFL, a playoff-caliber team. But even still, they got to play a couple more real good football teams before I'll be willing to eat crow.
Does Brendan Riley look like the actor Haley Joel Osment? I have no idea who that is.
You don't know who Haley Joel Osment is?
Oh, I do now, yeah. He was the dude from The Sixth Sense.
Yep.
I haven't seen him recently.
I mean, I don't know how he went through puberty and what he looks like now.
I would say yes. I think he and I think Brendan and Haley Joel Osment.
Did he fill out?
Yeah.
And he wears hoodies and supports Detroit
team? I don't see
him
in hoodie. Yeah, I think that they look alike. Okay. I really do. That's a good call, 1970. Corey, after the preseason, are y'all still thinking the Rocket ceiling is 35 wins? I don't know if we ever put him at 35.
I think that's too high.
I thought 30 was the ceiling.
30 is our ceiling.
I thought that was the
ceiling is not
ceiling.
The roof. The ceiling is 30, and that's it.
Yeah, Corey trying to create our own little ceilings.
Nice try, Corey.
Ocho, do you guys think that 18-inning game was a classic or just a long, poorly played baseball game?
How is it poorly played when it was so well pitched? I don't know how it could be poorly played.
Yeah, it wasn't poorly played. It might have been poor offense.
You play to win the game, and you play the way the game plays out. I don't think it was a poorly played game. I think that you had to be a true baseball aficionado to say that you watched the entire game, like I'm assuming you did too.
Yeah.
But look, at the end of the day, I think it was well-played baseball, and you got double your money.
Let's go to the lines for one more. Get Justin in here. Justin, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hey, guys. Been watching it every week, and the second best thing that happened this weekend was the Browns lost again.
Yeah.
If the season ends today, Texans got the fourth and ninth pick, I believe. Over-under on that being 12 or earlier pick. What do you guys think? Thanks.
Appreciate it. What did he say the over-under on? Over-under on that being their picks? Is that what he said, Sean?
I didn't catch.
I didn't quite say it. I'm
being the 12th pick or higher.
The Browns?
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm going to say they'll be better than the 12th pick. I've been going back and forth on this. I've been on the Browns fence, which isn't a good place to be.
Say better, do you mean?
I meant a better pick. The pick's going to be better. Like, it's going to be closer to number one. I never know to go higher or lower there.
Browns aren't going to have a better pick than the Texans, but the Browns right now, the way they're playing, whether Watson comes back.
But that's not the question. The question was, would it be better than the 12th pick?
I think it could be.
Okay, talk about a fence rider there.
Yes,
if
and I think that because the league left the door open for more suspension for Deshaun Watson, I think yes, affirmative, yes.
If the Texans had the fourth and ninth pick last year, that's the equivalent of Sauce Gardner and Charles Cross, who's been pretty good for Seattle.
Jeremy, can I just let you know something, having watched an entire game of Sauce Gardner?
It's good.
I think the Texans might have taken the wrong guy.
He's pretty good. He wears a cheese head pretty good, too.
Yeah, I was going to not like that too much, but he lives up to the billing and the hype he gives himself.
713-780-ESPN. Where does Luis Garcia's performance stack up amongst some of the greatest in Houston Astro history? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're looking to bet some classic performances, or you're trying to, maybe the Yankees have a classic performance tonight. Maybe it's the Guardians with a classic performance tonight. Maybe it's the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Well, if you're looking to bet on that stuff, BetUS.com is the place to do it. They're back for their 28th year of NFL action. They have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. We just mentioned the NFL. We just mentioned Major League Baseball. College football, good place to do that. NBA starts this week, good place to do that. And all of your other leagues, too. And while you're sweating out those sports bets, how about you take advantage of the new casino games at BetUS, including the coolest European slots? If table games are your thing, they have live dealers for those table games. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets and your favorite parlays. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives better bonuses than BETUS. Join now. Mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BETUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Razor Shark commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Astros an out away from punching a ticket again to the ALCS. Could end right here. Garcia deals. That ball's hit well to center, but right there. And Dubon puts it away, and the Houston Astros survive.
Brian Anderson on the call. Going to get Brian Anderson in the ALCS, by the way. I had a nervous moment yesterday.
Could not be happier with that. I was, almost as much as I'm happy with Sean Mapes' buttons.
I was watching the Yanks and the Guards yesterday. I think that's what they call them in Cleveland. I was watching it on mute, and while I was watching it on mute, I still had Bob Costas trigger me somehow. And I had a panic moment, and I said, man, I hope Bob Costas is not calling the ALCS. Turns out Brian Anderson will be calling the ALCS, which is fantastic. Anyways, Astros sweeping Seattle, taking all three games against the Mariners. Luis Garcia, five shutout innings, punches out six in that game. Where does this stack up amongst other great pitching performances in Houston Astro history? I'm not so sure that this wasn't the greatest relief outing in Houston Astro history.
I mean, I'm not going to overinflate this. He did a hell of a job. I think
there are some metrics that say it's the best relief outing in playoff history.
That's why I'm not an analytics guy, or you are. I can see the light both ways, and I'm trying to be somewhat where I consider both.
What's the light both ways?
I believe in the eye test. I believe in analytics. I'd like to kind of have
but
a little of
both. But where does it stand on Luis?
But I don't like where you can find a metric, no matter what, analytically, that supports whatever opinions you have. You see it way too often that people will go there and make this outlandish statement, but find out, like, you know, going for it on fourth down, they have a 46% success rate of going for it on fourth down and one, you know, in less than five. Well, what's their success rate in going for it in 3 yards or more? Because, you know, most times your chances are better to get a yard, yard and a half, 2 yards. But, and I'm just
right.
Loosely,
I actually agree with you. I'm just wondering how this comes into play for Luis Garcia.
For me, I don't want to, like, overstep the bounds of saying, like, some of the greatest pitching performances we've seen in Astros history are almost always as it relates to starting pitching or the Charlie Morton, Lance McCullers game, things like that. But I also don't want to take away from what Luis Garcia did. He was part of a great overall pitching effort by this team, and it started with Lance McCullers. So I'm not trying to, like, extremely quickly elevate it to, like, those levels of the greatest pitching performances in Astros history, but I definitely don't want to shortchange him on the credit he deserves.
I think if you were to eliminate the stakes of the game, because that matters, and it's hard to eliminate the stakes of the game, Luis Garcia going five shutout innings and striking out six, I think are better than the relief performances that come to mind. But Charlie Morton's was able to get you to a World Series for the first time in franchise history.
Because it was a World Series, not a divisional.
Lance McCullers got you to the World Series with his relief outing. But if you can eliminate the stakes, I don't think there's any question that Luis Garcia had the best relief performance of all of them. You look back at what Charlie Morton did in the playoffs 2017, came on in relief in the World Series. He went four innings, gave up a run. I mean, really good. Got the victory in a World Series, the only one in franchise history. You look at what Lance McCullers did in Game 7 of the ALCS in 2017. Four shutout innings. Struck out six. That's really good. One less shutout inning than Luis Garcia had. Roger Clemens. A lot of people point to Roger Clemens coming into the 18-inning game when the Astros won their first 18-inning playoff game. Chris Berg hit the walk-off 2005. Astros would end up going to the World Series in 2005. And Roger Clemens was on the bench earlier today. You can listen to that at ESPN 97.5.com. Clemens went three shutout innings in that game. So I think that those are probably the four outings by a reliever you look at in a long relief role that are historic. When you look back at Astro playoff lore, I think those are the four that are going to come to mind for, like, a multi-inning type of thing. McCullers in Game 7 of the ALCS, Morton in Game 7 of the World Series, Roger Clemens in 05, and Luis Garcia, what he did on Saturday afternoon.
Can I ask you a question? Because I've never heard this before today, and someone at the gym brought it up to me, and I didn't want to get into a monotonously painful, long-term discussion. They said that in that 18-inning game that Clemens came into, he was actually at home, and they had to call him up to be there to warm up to come into that game.
I seriously doubt that.
I don't think that's the case. It was a home game, and he was and he had warmed up a couple of times. I didn't remember that, but I'm like, okay, that's not what I'm biting on today. I got to get in and get out, and I don't have that much time.
I have really serious doubt of Roger Clemens being being at home during a playoff game.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the road, I get it. He had his own travel schedule. But guess what? I just think that there's no way that he's not going to be there for his teammates in a game of that magnitude.
Now, I remember,
or any game.
I remember the big story in that game was that, like, I think he was scheduled to pitch the next day. And he went to the manager, Phil Garner, at the time and was like, hey, if you need me, I can put on the spikes. Or he might even put on the spikes before he went to Phil Garner and then went down to the bullpen and was, like, the last reliever available. Yep. I seriously doubt that he was at home. I'm calling BS.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's why I didn't want to engage. I was like, because that one could take a whole lot of time I don't have today. And I don't have a lot of believability in it.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one. But it was great to see that from Luis Garcia. 5 shutout innings on the back end. I saw somebody on Twitter talk about how he had a quality start to end the game. And I'm saying, yeah, he just invented something. This was a quality finish for Luis Garcia.
The velocity was up. The location was good. And again, I think that, again, is we've saw so many roller coaster seasons for so many guys. We were talking about Urquidy being the possible third starter a month ago. We were talking about, you know, Garcia falling off right in about the same time period. And then he finished the season with about 4 or 5 starts where you went, oh, no. He wasn't tired arm that wasn't going to be able to recover from it. He was guy that once he just kind of righted the ship, he could get back right where he was before and maybe better. Now the fact that he's coming in relief, he can empty the tank more. The fastball is faster. He still has all the other secondary pitches. And he pitched his tail off to where it can only encourage you going forward that this is a guy that potentially, along with Javier, can go really well with the 3 guys that you know are going to be at the top of the rotation and go, we got 5 guys to choose from that can go multiple innings and be dominant.
You might need 5 starters with the way the ALCS is shaped up this year as well, because you're playing 7 games in 8 days, which I think is a good thing for the Houston Astros. 7 games in 8 days benefits a deeper pitching staff, especially with the Yankees and the guards playing today. They're going to come in a little bit more battered and bruised with the Astros finishing that series on Saturday. So I think it's a good thing for the Astros. Ocho saying Luis Garcia, you mentioned this, Garcia was hitting 97 on the gun. I saw him hit 98. Ocho said consistently. Makes me wonder if he paces himself during his regular starts. We mentioned this in the past. We've seen Luis Garcia. We saw it last year in the playoffs. He can bump 97, 98. That's why we were telling you whenever we were looking at the roster crunch and things like that, that you get, like, Luis Garcia, we understand he doesn't have a whole lot of history pitching out of the bullpen, but I love the idea of Luis Garcia being able to come in, even if it was only for an inning, and emptying the tank. Because we've seen him bump 97.
Urquidy,
we've seen him bump 98.
Hunter Brown, guys that have been starters, even if they haven't done it consistently, if you give them a clean inning and know that they're coming into it just like they would as a starting pitcher, starting scratch, no one on base, and yet you know that you're basically guaranteeing them you're not going to be out there for 5 or 6 innings, you can just go out and give it everything you got to get 3 batters out, and you can, like you said, empty the tank, unload it all, and your velocity goes up. Your effectiveness getting major league hitters goes up.
Yeah, I think that speaks more to Garcia and Brown, who have more of the stuff than like Urquidy, who's more of kind of command. Now,
although
his stuff isn't awful.
95-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can bump it up to 95. That's not 98 like Brown or Luis Garcia can. I think it benefits Garcia and Hunter Brown.
But when
more
he's on his secondary, his curveball can be better than the other two guys. The slider for Brown cannot be matched. But his curveball's pretty damn good, Urquidy, and especially when he can really snap him off knowing I don't have to do this for 5 or 6 innings.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I want to keep this conversation going. Also, I want to take a look around the rest of the Major League Baseball playoffs and what's going on around the league. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Dr. O at Apollo Men's Health, because I know it says men's health in the title. For both men and women, Doc O and his staff are finding a way for people to have more energy in their day and more results throughout the day and night because of the fact that you have more energy, you get more stuff done, and you feel more complete when you put your head on the pillow. He takes care of you in a variety of different ways. For both men and women that are in the lobby when I see them, when I'm in there weekly, they're telling me, hey, I heard you talk about it, so I went and checked it out. The fact that I've gotten on a program where either they're doing hormone therapy or they're getting a B12 shot like I get every week, you're finding out that the results are there And the fact is, you're not trying to win an Olympic gold medal. You're trying to win the day. And you're winning the day by getting more done, whether it be at your job or whether it be with your family or at the gym. It's because of the people at Apollo Men's Health that can help you get that extra advantage. Everywhere you look in different angles and multitudes of your life, they can help. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. You're having problems? They've got answers that can get you to where you need to go. If you want to get on a workout program, start with a full body composition analysis so you know the numbers going in and you can see and chart the progress as you continue down your journey. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, they got that too. It starts by making your first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com and find out right away. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Book your first appointment. Then find out all the different ways that they can help you with the services they offer. Tell them what you're interested in getting into. They'll actually have some serious conversations with you on that first appointment, and you can find out what's right for you too. I'm telling you right now, you tell them what's ailing you, they're going to put you on a program that works, they're going to get your results. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
906 saying, thank goodness for Phil Maton's locker. Like, I don't think Maton would have made this roster. If he did, I believe it would have been over Urquidy. Now, I do think that the Astros will keep one more pitcher and one less position player for a 7-game, potentially 8 days ALCS.
I think he would have pitched yesterday, and I think he might
Maton?
Have. I mean, Saturday.
If Maton?
They emptied everybody but Urquidy. God forbid if he'd have been in the game before Garcia or someone else, and he could have cost you the game. I actually am of the belief, and I used the statement this morning at the gym, thank God that Phil did what he did, so the decision was made for him yet again. Yeah. We've seen so many times where we've had so many issues we brought up on this show that played themselves out due to injury and things throughout the season. This was another one.
I think there's probably a 50-50 chance he would have been on the roster over Urquidy. Maybe that's a little bit too high, but I think there's a really good chance he'd be on the ALCS roster coming up. I think they're going to add Will Smith. Which position player do you think will not be on the ALCS roster?
Dubon.
I think Hinsley and Dubon are your two options, but Dubon, you know,
Hinsley's a better hitter.
You know who I think it's going to be? I think it's going to be Jake Meyers. They've had an opportunity. One, Jake Meyers had an opportunity to start, did not look good. What was he, 0-for-3 with two called strike threes? Secondly, I thought he was going to be on the roster as a defensive replacement in center field. Who's Dusty going with as his defensive
Dubon.
Replacement in center field? I think Meyers is going to be the guy out. I think it's going to be Will Smith added, Meyers off.
I can see that happening as well. I think that the fact is we said he had a play resume when he started.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he watched pitches thrown right down Main Street. And no matter what he could or couldn't do defensively and how far he's come from where he was when he was sent down, it's not enough to be a center fielder no matter what point in the game you're at for a team playing for a trip to the World Series.
Not if you're the defensive guy.
You don't need a glorified base runner, a pinch runner, that is supposed to be able to do all these other things or has been able to do them in the past. You just don't know if you can trust him to do it now. Now is not a time to experiment anymore.
Yep.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's a good call.
His one saving grace might be that it looked like Chaz got a little bit banged up in that game. I noticed it whenever he was going into second base early.
Hobbled.
And then center field, it looked like he slipped and looked like he was limping.
That run to seconds where I caught it, I was worried he was coming out of the game because it looked like he pulled something.
It looked like he pulled something there. He stayed in the game, and then when he tracked down that ball in right center field, I think it was on Santana's ball in the gap, it looked like he was a little bit limpy there as well. So maybe that would be a reason to have Meyer still on the roster. Join Culture Map on October 27th for the tailgate. This is not your typical party in a parking lot. The tailgate is a celebration of the culture and lifestyle of sports and the fans who cheer them on. Expect tailgate-inspired tastings from your favorite restaurants, including Street to Kitchen, Dish Society, Sticky's Kitchen, and many more, plus signature drinks, game day activities, and entertainment. Tickets are on sale now and include all food and drinks. Go to culturemaptailgate.com to get your tickets today and use promo code ESPN ESPN for $15 off any ticket type. You don't want to miss that. Poncho on our Twitch, he's asking if Justin Verlander should be the game one starter. Dusty already said he's going to be the game one starter. Verlander already confirmed and talked about being the game one starter for the ALCS. Poncho probably wants Urquidy to go game one. I have no problem trusting Justin Verlander.
Talking about this. Like, again, we go back to a conversation we had last week. He's been your ace all year. He's going to win the freaking Cy Young. We all know pitchers have hiccups, and sometimes they don't have their best days. We've already talked about an exhausted what could have been behind it, the extra rest, trying to get him, you know, keeping him game sharp when there weren't games to be played. They did everything they possibly could. He even said we exhausted every resource trying to make sure we were all fresh. He didn't have his best game. Does that mean you're going to completely turn your back and close the door on a dude that basically is very responsible for where you were all year long and where how far you got? Stop it right now.
Yeah. Verlander's getting the ball game one. Dusty already said it. I have no problem with it at all. I hope that he figures it out. We understand that his last six playoff outings have not went very well. Hopefully he figures it out for game one of the ALCS. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A lot of Major League Baseball blankers are talking about this new playoff format because we saw in the National League, both of the teams on bye were eliminated. Dodgers got beat by the Padres. We saw the Braves got beat by the Phillies. The two teams in the American League, look, the Astros swept in a very tight series. The Yankees are playing a do-or-die Game 5 today. So at least half, maybe three-quarters of the teams that had byes in the playoffs are eliminated. Does it make you feel any differently about this whole Major League Baseball playoff structure?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that we alluded to it before we got this far into the playoffs, but when you look at the results, you look at, as you mentioned, the teams that aren't playing and potentially have another one, and the you know, like the Mets, a 100-win team that you know, again, didn't win the division but was sent home early along with the division winners, along with these teams that should have been rewarded for all their regular season success. I think, and I don't know where you are on this, but I think the days off matter and where they occur. And the fact that you rewarded a Seattle team by giving them a day off in between what otherwise would have been consecutive games in Houston, and you got your ace an extra day so that he was on full rest to pitch game two on the road and possibly get you the split that you needed if you were trying to make it a long series. I think where you left the door too far open as Major League Baseball where you put those days off and how you executed those. Because I think that as much as it made, and I love the format of the three-game series for the wild card,
yeah,
I think you got to pay more attention to how it either positively or negatively reacted the teams that worked all year to get a better record and have some kind of an advantage.
In my mind, you have to do what is right by the two teams that get the byes. I don't care if you're screwing the other four teams. You don't like it? Earn a top two bye.
Earn it by winning the division next year.
Or earn it by winning a wild card series, condensed, not the days off, and outslug somebody, whatever it takes. Like, there should be no excuses for the teams or no complaints for the teams that finish 3-6. You should do whatever you take to benefit the teams that finished in the top two and that earned the bye. 5 days off is too long. And look, it's a new structure. You had the lockout on top of it. Weird, quirky days off, TV, whatever. I don't care the excuses. You should not be doing anything to reward the wild card teams. It should be tough on them for not finishing top two in the league. You should take care of the teams that finish top two in the league. I don't love, and we told you this, I don't love the day off between Game 3 wild card series, Game 1 of the ALDS, if you want a day off in the series in 2. I don't love the day off after Game 1. And I know that was a TV thing because they wanted to separate the National League and the American League. Fix it.
Well, and they wanted to do what the NBA does, have a game, at least one game per day the rest of the weekend.
Look, I get it, but you shouldn't be rewarding the wild card team because of television. Secondly, I don't hate the idea of a day-night doubleheader for games 2 and 3 in a wild card series. You play game 1 on whatever day of the week. That next day, you play a day-night doubleheader. If you win game 2, you don't have to worry about the doubleheader. If the series goes 3, you're playing a night doubleheader game that day. That way, you condense a 3-game series down to 2. If you want the day off, reduce the 3 games down to 2 days.
You have to have a day off, I believe, between the wild card and the start of the divisional round just for travel. Because you have to be able to let the teams adequately get in, get settled in. But where I really just am adamant about it is I don't think when you're at home, in the case of when you have 2 in Houston, there's no need for a day off between games. These guys all season long have played 3-game series, 2-game series, back-to-backs, four-game series, but there's no way that you need and can tell me that there's a reason why you, other than, and TV, should, like you said, should not dictate it to that extent. Like,
why is there a day off, though? Why is there not a day off between game four and five of the division series?
Too.
Why is there 7 games in 8 days? I mean, whenever you're looking at the ALCS, there's only 1 day off in the ALCS.
The only thing I can think of is that they sat in the Major League Baseball offices and said, we need the whole thing to be done by this date. In order to do that, we've got to condense this and this, because otherwise you're right, it doesn't make sense.
Like if they took an off day out of the ALCS to make sure you had the travel day. There's not a travel day between game 5 and 6 of the ALCS. There wouldn't have been a travel day between game 4 and 5 of the ALDS. So you're taking away the travel days from the bye teams. And you're giving it to the wild card
team. That's ridiculous.
That's like, I understand the travel day aspect of it.
The travel days should be in there the way they've always been in there from a traditional standpoint. But the travel days or the days off that I don't like, I don't think while you're in a city, there shouldn't be a day off between games for one.
Right. But if you're taking the travel days out of the entire playoff, I'm pulling from the wild card before I'm pulling from the byes and the ALCS and the NLCS.
Right. Yeah. Because again, like you said, you don't want to punish the teams that work their tails off to get the best records, to get those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a work in progress. I don't ever think, though I know the mighty dollar speaks and I know how much TV means to all these different leagues, you also have to be respectful of the players and the product on the field and the fact that these teams earned it over 162 games. They shouldn't be at the mercy of a TV deal to decide their potential future.
Right. I'm really curious to see what it looks like next year whenever there's not the lockout and then having a year of the wild card being a 3-game series. Because next year, to me, is the real test. This year, you can have the excuse of the lockout. We couldn't figure it out. Whatever. Next year is the real test.
Well, the best point you just made, too. People forget the fact that we missed the first two series of the regular season.
Yeah.
And they had to try and make them up. That's why you had the Phillies at the end of the year here. That probably, like I said, lends itself to the meetings I've been in the past where they say, we have to be drop-dead done with the entire thing by this date.
Yeah.
In order to make that happen, we had to do some quirky things in the playoffs.
Fox probably wants their World Series dates, the exact days that they wanted the World Series.
No doubt.
That's probably what it comes down to. But 5 days off for the two byes, I know the Astros won it. The other teams did not. Is it an excuse? I don't know. 5 days off is a lot in baseball in a repetition sport. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's talk some Jack Easterby with one of the Wheelhousemen. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Proton Coops, it's what you need in your life. Why? Because the weather's about to be fantastic. Basketball season starting now. Houston Cougars ranked number 3 in college basketball. College basketball right around the corner. So you probably have a kid, maybe it's you, that wants to work on your game a little bit. And if you do, well, you need some Proton Coops in your life. It is the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true authentic feel. You can lower the goal, you can raise the goal up, you can lower it down to throw some jams. If you want to work on your shot, we'll raise it up to 10 feet. We'll raise it up to regulation. Competition grade breakaway rim if you're dunking, which keeps you safe, makes sure to keep your loved ones safe as well. Another aspect that keeps you safe is the extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. Don't worry about rolling your ankle on that basketball stanchion because of the extended overhang. Durability is a strength of Proton Coops as well. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong. If you're lazy like me, their best feature, they install the goal. You don't have to do anything. Let the pros at Proton Coops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Proton Coops do all of the work for you. Proton Coops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hanging out with Jake Asman ahead of the Wheelhouse. You can listen each weekday, 3 to 7, right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Jake's got the Broadway Joe shirt today. He's got the Jets shoes today. I expect you to wear a cheese head today to just troll Joe Blankers over there.
Sauce Gardner did that. I don't own a cheese head.
Yeah, you could ask Blankers to borrow one.
Do you own a cheese head?
Oh, yeah. It was bought for me.
That's pretty cool.
The security guys at the
Rockets still good?
Bought it for me. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's in my man cave.
Look, I think it's one of the coolest traditions in sports.
It is pretty cool.
Jake's Jets earned it. I mean, they outplayed them. They were the better team. And that's why when people are asking me, like, thinking it's going to hurt my feelings, no, I'm highly concerned about a team that's embarrassing to watch right now. Jets and Giants, both are great stories that, you know, no one saw coming, and everybody's waiting, saying, oh, this is the week they come back to reality. Maybe, just maybe, they made the right moves to be really, you know, improved football teams that are doing what they need to do. Green Bay's got a whole lot to figure out. The Jets have figured out a lot of stuff. And like I said to him, as much as Texans fans don't want to hear this, watching him in person, watching him for the entire game, Sauce Gardner is a really good football player, and the Texans might have taken the wrong guy.
Are the Jets going to the playoffs?
If you asked me a week ago, I would have said probably not.
Yeah.
Right now, when you look around the AFC and how mediocre just the NFL in general is, I mean, they're 4-2. If they go 6-5 over their next 11, they finish 10-7.
How's the schedule look for the next 11?
It softens up after their bye.
Really? I mean, like Salah. I really do.
I do too.
I'm a fan of his.
I like. It's not. You know, it's one thing to be like a Dan Campbell rah-rah type guy. But the fact that he understands defense, he believes in his players, he gets the most out of his players, and he comes from that mold of that kind of new school, younger generation coach, I think he's done a hell of a job. And there's nothing that says he won't continue to do that.
You got to start here, too, which is pretty cool. He was on Gary Kubiak's staff.
Oh, yeah, we played pickup basketball with him.
Texans never interviewed him.
I played in pickup games with, like, they used to have this front office versus front office competition. We'd play them in football at the bubble. They played us.
How'd that go?
Kyle Shanahan like a dirty pickup player?
Yeah, he tried to take my knees out. I had a big game against him. He tried to take my knees out. We
like
got
Dan
into
Campbell.
It. Like, we literally got into it. But Salah, I believe, played. I don't know if LaFleur played or not. I know Shanahan played. Kyle Shanahan played. But like football,
yeah.
Like they brought guys off their practice squad because their front office was so serious. I called Clyde, who happened to be on his motorcycle somewhere across town, and told him I needed him. He showed up and played wide receiver, and no one could stop him. I just threw it up for grabs as far as I could throw.
You were the quarterback?
Yeah, and he was throwing it.
Well, lefty, too.
And then our HR department came in and said, now we need to let everyone play in the fourth quarter when we were actually winning.
Yeah.
And we lost.
Was Clyde clubbing baby seals out there on the field?
We'll leave that for another day.
Clyde doesn't strike me as a motorcycle guy.
Me either, but he showed up in one. And the fact that he showed up and played, I loved it.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as a motorcycle guy. Green Bay, are they going to the playoffs?
I still think they are.
They will. They'll figure it out.
And they'll figure it out. Look, their offensive line is too good to allow the same blitz package all day long bother them. The bigger concern to me is everybody was talking, including me, said they upgraded their defense. Their front seven, for the second straight week, can't stop the run. That's a problem.
I don't see much sense of urgency for them. Like, I understand
they're going to get two receivers.
I understand they had some issues with their receiving core, and like Cobb had a little high ankle sprain, so he's probably gone for a little amount of time.
He looked like he thought the season was over. Yeah. I looked at the replay going, where?
Maybe his career. Like, I thought Randall Cobb lost his career as he was being carted off and kind of crying.
The emotions, yeah. I was like, and it's not that serious.
Yeah, I thought his career was done right there in that instance. But, like, the sense of urgency across the board, though. Like, you just talked about, how about a little bit of protection for Aaron Rodgers? How about Rodgers having a little sense of urgency?
Lamont and everybody wanted me to and Jake, watch the game. You can validate this. Lamont and everybody wanted me to crap all over Rodgers.
Yeah.
One, he has a little bit of a balky thumb. But here's the bigger problem. He was running for his life all day.
Dude, he got hit on every drop back. The only way the Packers actually moved the ball was when he would make a precision, perfect throw. The Jets' secondary was unreal. Their defensive line was hitting him on every play. Rodgers is the least of their problems.
Yeah,
there. It's everything else around him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been a sense of urgency like across the board. In the offseason with you know, personnel helping the 53, I think the defense has kind of been average whenever they're much better than how they're playing. The offensive line isn't playing up to
their
potential.
But their running game is supposed to be their strength, and they go away from it. That's what Rodgers was talking about postgame. Why do we get so cute year after year to try and create new ways to move the football when the old ways seem to be working? And credit the Jets defense for even being able to stop that, too. But they knew they couldn't throw. Their receivers aren't good enough to create separation on a good secondary.
Like when Rodgers had the famous relax, it needs to be the opposite of that. Like they need a little bit of sense of urgency. They need a little kick in the butt, try to get them going.
They needed in the offseason to get a receiver.
Yeah. The Texans have made it official about Jack Easterby, by the way. We saw the Adam Schefter report on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. earlier. Texans really wanted that news to be talked about and wanted everybody to know about it. They have officially made the statement. Cal McNair saying, I met with Executive VP of Football Operations, Jack Easterby, and we have mutually agreed to part ways. Mutually agreed to part ways. A little bit of money settlement there, probably. For the remainder of the season, effective immediately, his responsibilities will be absorbed by our football operations staff. How about this one? We acknowledge Jack's positive contributions and wish him and his family the very best in the future.
You got to say what you got to say.
I know it. Although that's, I mean, I bet you that was tough for Cal. I bet you that was tough for Cal.
Power move?
We acknowledge Jack helped tear down this franchise, but we thank him for his service.
Yeah.
I said, I think this is establishing Nick is truly in control.
Yeah, look, it's Jack Easterby, regardless of what his role was, as long as he was still around the organization, what's the number one thing Texans fans still bring up? It's like, it's up to trust this team.
Right.
As long as Jack is there. This should have been done a while ago. I think a lot of people have talked about that. I heard you earlier, Jeremy, making that point. But at least they did it. At least they moved on, and now they could start without him being part of this team going forward.
Our text line wanted me to get fired on my opinion of this because I agreed that today is a positive day. What I and like it's reason to celebrate firing Easterby. I totally get it. Where I stopped short on is like the Texans front office and the Texans organization should be praised for firing Jack Easterby today. Nah. There's no praise for keeping Jack Easterby around as long as he's been around. See, the questions that I have, does this change the plight of the Texans at all? I don't think it does. I think the plight of the Texans yesterday is the same plight of the Texans today.
The one thing it could do is stop now Josh McCown from being the future head coach. That was one of my first thoughts because say whatever you want about Easterby, and there are a lot of like Easterby truthers out there being like, well, he doesn't really have that much impact over things. This team was this close to hiring a guy that's never coached at any level to be their head coach. They were that close. If Brian Flores is not suing the NFL, I know for a fact they were prepared to name Josh McCown as their head coach. So Jack not being here, I think, eliminates that. And I know most fans were pretty much in agreement. They didn't want Josh McCown to be this team's head coach.
I would agree with that. I'm not sure Lovie Smith is the answer long term.
No. But did you see kudos for the organization for making this move?
Kudos from other people, you're saying?
Yeah, from just people in social media and otherwise, because I missed it. And I will gladly say I missed it. But I thought that people was more sense of relief. This guy can no longer linger on like a cancer in this organization. I didn't see them getting like rewarded and celebrated for this as an organization. But, I mean, I understand it from a fan base perspective if they did.
I saw a lot of people, as you said, use it like relief. Like, thank God he's gone, and now we kind of move forward. I don't think they should be praised for this because this should have been done a long time ago. Like, the biggest mistake Cal McNair ever made was not having the clean break when he fired O'Brien after four games in 2020. That was the time to completely clean house. He didn't do it then. And since then, it's been all downhill. It's gotten worse since then, not better.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue, too, is like, I get celebrating today. I understand the small victories, but in terms of like being a competitive NFL franchise, this is something that happens long ago. This would have never happened.
The damage is already done.
The damage is already done. And like the things that we've celebrated in Houston from like a Texans perspective over the last 15 months is the firing of Easterby 2 years too late. Like, it's great that he paid his mortgage 2 years too late. That makes me feel relief, but I'm not happy with the guy. And then secondly, hiring Lovie Smith whenever he wasn't part of the interview process. Those are the two biggest victories for this franchise. If those are the two biggest victories for the franchise in the last 15 months, your franchise is poor, bad, one of the worst in the entire NFL. And I want to get to a point where the Houston Texans, they look at this, you know, NFL team in this city where you're talking about moves for a contender.
Maybe that's why you get to that point. You got the meddler that was the guy pushing to Jake.
Sure,
point,
but you do it 2 years ago.
Well, you should have, right? But now, at least he's out of the room. So if Nick continues with his plan the way he's allowed to execute it, he doesn't have to deal with the distraction of Jack.
Right, and it's probably more of a distraction than anything tangible. Like, do we think that Jack Easterby had anything to do with this roster, this organization for the last 8 months?
No. But aren't you saying that he was the driving force behind McCown?
I believe he had a huge role in that, but they ultimately didn't hire McCown. So from that point on, I think he's been basically nullified. I mean, he's not even allowed on the sidelines during games anymore. So a lot of people saw this coming maybe at the end of the year, not in the middle of the season. That all being said, I still think it's a positive because from a like morale standpoint, there's a lot of fans who said they'll never watch as long as he's involved with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as this team continues its rebuild, it's nice to know that it's Nick Caserio making the decisions. You don't have to worry about this like outside force that was here for, you know, the worst decisions that were made in the history of this franchise.
The best thing about it is it eliminates the questions and the doubt. Like, whenever, if Josh McCown is in the coaching carousel and is part of the interview list the next time the Houston Texans have an open position, we can't say it was Jack Easterby. When Rex Burkhead is the third running back on this team, we can't say it's because of Jack Easterby. That's the best thing that it does. And I think it's more symbolic, the firing, than anything tangible. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Plenty of Easterby talk. Plenty on the Astros. Todd Callis, the voice of the team on TV, is going to be joining us at 4:15. So we'll talk to Todd about the Game 3 win and look ahead to the ALCS. Plenty of college football, plenty of NFL football. I mean, this is like a sports orgy today, Jeremy. There is so much to talk about. You can't go wrong with what you talk about over the next 4 hours.
Who's better, the Yankees or the Guardians? I can't figure it out.
Well,
I really can't.
He's going to say.
No, he's honest. He's always honest. Who do you think's a better team?
I think the Yankees are better, but it's...
I think it's close, right?
It's a one game, anything
you like
can happen.
Tyon tonight?
I'm in from an Astros perspective.
I'm very worried about him in the first inning because that's usually when he has struggled, and then he settles in. But in a winner-go-home game,
is that the only option they had? Seve and everybody?
Well, yeah, no one's on regular rest, so the rainouts kind of screwing everything up.
Thanks to Sean Mays for filling in for the slacker, Brendan. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.